Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
I want to commend you for going around the country with the listening sessions, and I commend the members of this committee and the staff for attending those sessions, because I think we gained tremendous insight from the stakeholders involved and going to be implicated by things that we put in this farm bill.
Ready for politics to turn to policy. During the markup of the House Ag Committee's farm bill on Thursday, Indiana Representative Dr. Jim Baird.
So I'm going to be very brief and just say that the corn and the soybeans in Indiana are growing, and I'd like to have this done as soon as we can. So I'm finished with the rhetoric. I'm finished with the rhetoric. Let's get with it.
Can you yield to me?
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Well, Mr. Chairman, when you came to South Dakota, and I know it wasn't the only state you visited, you have been busy, sir. You and I heard loud and clear about the priorities from South Dakota families and farmers. And I adopted those as my marching orders for what we needed to get into this farm bill. And I got to tell you, Mr. Chairman, we got all five of the big ones in.
South Dakota Representative Dusty Johnson during the markup of the House Ag Committee's farm bill on Thursday.
First off, from a rural broadband perspective, and that was my line of work before I came to Congress, you look at the last farm bill for a project with a 15-year term, the build-out speeds from an upload perspective were 18 megabits per second. This bill increases that to 250 megabits per second. So that we're building networks that don't just work today, but that will be good 5 and 10 years from now. Secondly, livestock. You and I, sir, heard that it was important that we built capacity outside of the Big Four with the A-Plus Act and the Butcher Block Act inside this bill. We do that. Number three, we heard about inflation and about the need to increase reference prices in Title I. This bill does that. It also provides a critically important voluntary base acre update that is going to make a big difference in farm country. Number four, we know that our country has the best beef, beans, dairy, pork, chicken, just about everything else. And when we have access to other markets, we can win. Willing buyers and willing sellers, people want our agricultural products. Just in little old South Dakota, sir, it's $5 billion a year. That's $5,500 a year for every South Dakotan every year. This bill doubles emphasis and investment in market access programs like MAP and FMD. It will mean big things for farm and ranch country. And then finally, number five, we know that you don't have to idle acres to have successful conservation programs. That's not to say that there isn't a role for CRP. But working lands conservation is an incredibly powerful tool to make sure we're working with farmers and ranchers to put into place practices that can improve soil health, improve water quality, and improve habitat. And indeed, this bill has a pretty big emphasis on that as well, sir. I would also thank the committee for the inclusion of important bills that I've pushed for, including the SAVE Act to safeguard U.S. exports from unfair trade practices, the SNAP Tribal Food Sovereignty Act, so we can give those tribal governments the opportunity to manage their own SNAP programs in Indian country. And then also the New Beginnings program. It's been an incredibly powerful program to take those first-generation tribal students, bring them to those land-grant schools, and make sure that they have a real chance to succeed. This is a heck of a piece of work, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking forward to today's markup. I'm looking forward to getting it signed into law.
Johanna Hayes is a representative from Connecticut.
I would just like to add that I love it that the gentleman from South Dakota was able to get all five of his priorities in the farm bill, but that is not bipartisanship. I think any one of us would have loved to have the opportunity to at least get one or two of our priorities in. And that's what we are asking for, and that is what we are working for, because I, too, had a field hearing in my district, and many of the things that my constituents talked about are not included in here. So let's listen to the information that we heard from all of these field hearings and incorporate it into the bill, not having overwhelmingly where one side or one member has a windfall in this farm bill and the rest of the country is left behind.
Johnson was quick to make it clear they were bipartisan.
I would just note to the gentlelady from Connecticut that every single bill I mentioned, Mr. Chairman, had Democratic co-sponsors on it, and I was grateful to have those all be bipartisan priorities.
This is Agriculture Today.
You know, you take a look at the Ways and Means Committee, and I'm on the Trade Subcommittee, and trade is so important to ag.
Michelle Fischbach is a Republican representative from Minnesota on why other committees are vital for ag.
And then we talk about taxes in Ways and Means. That's so incredibly important to all of our business farmers. And so, estate tax. When I was on the ag committee the first term I was here, is we talked a lot about that estate tax and the stepped up basis. And that's all in part of the Ways and Means. So I work very closely with the members of the ag committee. Brad Finstead, who's from Minnesota, he border his district. He's on the, and he is an ag superstar. And so we work together all the time, and I think that, for Minnesotans, and Texans do this a lot, is, you spread out so that you're on different committees and can have a hand in each of those areas to help the area, help ag, help Minnesota, help those districts. So it's something that we do a lot of work together on, not only, not Ways and Means, but that ag. And on budget, right now we are looking at the Farm Bill, and there's issues with some of the CBO scores because we need to make sure that we're paying for that, for everything great that we've done in the Farm Bill. And so working with CBO to make sure that they understand how things need to be scored so that we can pay for that bill.
How vital is trade for ag?
I think we all know that it's critical. We need to have markets for our goods, and we need to be able to, and we can't be dependent on one place. We can't send all of our beans to China. We have to make sure that we're opening markets other places. And not too long ago was part of a delegation to Mexico and to Ecuador and to some of the South American countries so that we could, start that conversation, because the Biden administration is not doing it plain and simple. They are not doing what they need to be doing for ag trade. And so we are doing what we can, in the Farm Bill, but also trying to open up those markets and trying to get that discussion started so that, and we had the issues with GMO corn in Mexico, so we were talking to the president of Mexico about that, but also making sure that they understand that we are interested because the Biden administration is not pursuing the kinds of things that they need to. We've had Ambassador Tai in front of round tables and in front of Ways and Means on several occasions, and they, plain and simple, they are just not pursuing free trade agreements. They're just not, and she admitted it. And so we need to push best we can at our, from Congress, that we're getting those markets open, because farmers and everybody understands the importance of having those markets open.
If trade's vital, what's the Farm Bill?
The Farm Bill is critical. We need to make sure that we do that this year. And I will say this. I think that Chairman Thompson has done a wonderful job dealing with all the different aspects that he needs to deal with. He's been around the country, getting input from various, groups and individuals from across the country. And I think he's done a great job. And I'm very happy, with the crop insurance portion of it. I'm very happy with that he does increase money for those trade programs. And I am excited to, they have it in committee tomorrow. And so we'll see about the markup tomorrow, but I'm excited to get things started and move it. And from what I hear about the Senate bill, there's some differences, but they're not as bad as you think. They're not completely opposed. And so I think that once it gets passed, or once it gets to that conference committee point, I think that it will just be putting a finer point on things. But I think we need to do it. We need to do it this year. We need to get it done because, like I said, there's great things about in crop insurance with beginning farmers, with veterans, and helping out farmers in general, because that's part of their risk management tool. And so we need to make sure that it's strong and they can still use it. And like I said, mentioned the trade. Absolutely, because it is something that we need to make sure we're doing for our farmers, is opening up those trade markets.
It's Agriculture Today.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Agriculture is among the most rapidly changing industries in the nation. This Farm Bill makes the needed and meaningful changes to our nation's ag policies to ensure that our nation is poised to thrive and compete.
Nebraska Representative Don Bacon, member of the House Ag Committee, on the 2024 Farm Bill says farm groups are united.
It also ensures that those who are food insecure are taken care of with both compassion and accountability. I look forward to the markup, but I just want to respond to some of the critiques of this Farm Bill today. I just took out about half of the groups that organized this or that endorsed this bill. Let me just read off a few of these. The U.S. Cattlemen, the U.S. Dairy Export Council, the public and land-grant universities. These are all the people who endorsed this bill. The National Milk Producers, the Pheasants Forever, the American Farm Bureau, Ducks Unlimited, Corn Refiners Association, the American Soybean Association, the National Association of Forest Owners, the National Confectioners Association, Alliance for Sugar, the Cotton Council, the Conservation Fund, the North American Millers, the U.S. Wheat Associates, the National Soybean Producers, the Maritime Trades of the AFL-CIO, the American Frozen, the National Park Council, the Fertilizers Institute, the American Farmland Trust, the Land Trust Alliance, the American Sugar Alliance, the Forest Landowners Association, the Food and Ag Climate Alliance, the Almond Alliance, the U.S. Pheasants Federation, the National Farmers Union, the United Council on Welfare Fraud, the National Associates of Conservation Districts, the American Veterinary Medical Association, the Congressional Sportsman Foundation, the American Sheep Industry, the National Barley Growers, the Dry Pea and Lentil Council, the National Pecan Federation, the National Corn Growers, the National Wheat Growers. I could go on. That's half of them. You wrote a good bill, Mr. Chairman. I yield back.
Representative Johanna Hayes from Connecticut, also a member of the House Ag Committee, kept saying she's ready for bipartisanship.
I've heard a lot about the bipartisan efforts to do that. I cannot tell you personally that I've seen that, but I am open to that happening. So I look forward to today being the first step in a long journey to produce a farm bill that supports farmers, families, and all Americans.
In response, Chairman of the House Ag Committee, G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania.
I just want to submit for the record here, the list I hold in my hand represents more than 40 Democrat-only marker bills, in addition to many more. Countless bipartisan priorities were included in the bill before you. These were priorities of my Democrat friends that were negotiated as part of the chairman's mark. And if a Democrat member's priority is not within this bill, I would urge them to ask the ranking member and his staff why, or raise an amendment. That's what the amendment process is for.
A new member of the House Ag Committee from Illinois, Nikki Budzinski.
And to pit farmers against families they feed, as it flies in the face of bipartisanship. Let's get back to the table and find a bipartisan farm bill that we can all agree on. Thank you so much, and I yield back.
Well, I yield back. I will say I've been asking for 3 years for ideas from both sides of the aisle for pay fors.
That's when some protesters who snuck into the room started chanting.
The committee will be in order. The committee will stand in recess until the police can restore order.
Three protesters with no knowledge of the farm bill protesting chicken and eggs.
The committee will come to order. Now recognize the gentleman from New York, Ms. Molinaro, for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's the first time that my chicken policy had been protested, so I appreciate being with you this afternoon.
It's Agriculture Today.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I certainly share your comments from a little bit ago.
Co-author of the 2012 Farm Bill, former chairman of the House Ag Committee from Oklahoma, Frank Lucas.
It's hard to believe that it's been 10 years ago since we spent 2.5 years crafting the third generation farm bill. And a number of you on the back row were a part of that process, where we had to fight off elements within each caucus, elements within leadership, in order to come up with a comprehensive farm bill. And I think it was a pretty amazing product. And the Ag Committee at that point, as it had traditionally been, was so dramatically different than any other committee. Now, think of me as the old uncle. Think of me as the old guy on the wall, whatever you want to think of me as. As the evening has progressed, we have started to sound a little bit like government oversight or judiciary or some of the other committees where everybody likes to fight. That's not the House Agriculture Committee. That's not the House Agriculture Committee. We face challenges just doing our work when we are all working together. Now, on this language, I have to assume that everybody is well-intentioned in the primary amendment and the secondary amendment. I understand that, and I'm going to vote in a certain fashion on both. But if this has been against the law since 1938, maybe we need to bring in the Secretary of Labor and the Secretary of Ag and the Director of OSHA and give them a thorough discussion about how they're enforcing existing law. You know, there's folks back home who say you shouldn't pass more laws till you enforce the laws you have. There's some validity to that, my friends. So, again, I have the greatest respect for all of you. I've seen this body do some of the most amazing work in the last decade. If we can't craft in this committee and on the floor a comprehensive bill, then I don't know how we ever make it all the way through the process. And one last thought. I know there's some concern here about restricting the authority of various secretaries in the executive branch. But remember, my friends, the next administration may not be this administration. And the people you are leaving more empowered may be people in the future who will use that power in a fashion contrary to what you define as the best interest. I've been around long enough. I'm suspicious of all executive branches. But the only way we fulfill our responsibilities is pulling together. Let's vote and get this over with.
And the clerk called the roll.
Ms. Crockett votes no. Mr. Jackson?
No.
Mr. Jackson votes no. Mr. Kassar?
No.
Mr. Kassar votes no. Ms. Pingree?
No.
Ms. Pingree votes no. Mr. Carbajal?
No.
Mr. Carbajal votes no. Ms. Craig?
No.
Ms. Craig votes no. Mr. Soto?
No.
Mr. Soto votes no. Mr. Bishop? Mr. Bishop votes yes. Mr. Chairman?
Oh, yeah. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote?
Mr. Chairman, on that vote, the yeas are 33, the nays are 21.
A majority having voted in favor, the motion is agreed to, and H.R. 8467, as amended, will be reported favorably to the House.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Agriculture Today.
I'm so excited. I mean, when you think of Iowa in the 4th District, second largest ag district in the country, so corn, soybeans, cattle, hogs, I mean, it is going to the fundamentals of what we're trying to do, that safety net for our producers, whether it be livestock or whether that be commodities like corn and soybeans, from insurance to research to protecting animal diseases to also conservation. It hits on all those titles, and I'm really excited about this bill.
Iowa Representative and member of the House Ag Committee, Randy Feenstra, also on making improvements to the Livestock Indemnity Program.
The Livestock Indemnity, I mean, just a great program. But the problem with the program is it's rebased once every year. And what we do, what we're doing is a new bill that says we're going to rebase once every 3 months. It's now going to be in the base text of the Farm Bill, which is really exciting. So, and that's a great thing because there's such fluctuations in cattle. So if you do it once a year, you can be caught on a low side or a high side, and now it will be rebased every 3 months. So this is great for our cattle and livestock people.
Remains concerned over trade issues with Mexico and Brazil.
This is a really big fight right now. It's very unfortunate. Brazil put a tariff on the ethanol of 16%. It's going to go up to 18% here very shortly. They believe that, you know, they don't want to see our product coming in, so they're going to put a significant tariff on it. And it has to do with other issues. You know, there's always some background behind this. I think sugar had something to do with this and stuff like that. Not that it's a problem, but now we have to negotiate. Now, you know, we talked to our trade representative, Kathleen Tai, and said, hey, we've got to resolve this. We can't go down this path of having this tariff on ethanol. So we're working through it. We talked to the administration. It's, please, this is so important to our corn farmers, our corn producers, and ethanol. You know, it really affects that commodity market.
Then there's an ag trade deficit.
This is a $30 billion trade deficit. And what we have to look at is what other countries are doing. So all of a sudden we have the UK, we have European countries trading with other countries, not ours. And we're seeing that more and more. And that should be a clue, a concern, because we rely, you know, we're continuing our commodity markets. Our commodities are continuing to grow. I mean, our hybrids and stuff, we make more and more. We got to have a place to go with them. We can feed the world. But we have to have trading partners, free trade agreements to allow that to happen. And that's starting to shrink. And again, that's a very big concern when you start looking at commodity prices.
And domestic demand?
We have to start looking domestically from biofuels. renewable fuels. E15 year-round would really help. And it really comes down to liquid fuels. All right, so there's an adversarial relationship right now that you have the administration that is just pushing the electric vehicles, demanding that by 2032 that you have 62% of the cars and the light trucks to run on electric. Well, first of all, we don't have a grid for that. But the alternative is bio and renewable fuels. And we can do this. And the refiners and everybody should be on board and saying, hey, we got to protect liquid fuels, and we have that opportunity. And what does that do? That also helps our producers by having a place to go with our commodities.
All of this while still trying to tackle the long-standing issue of a death tax.
What we're trying to do is try to eliminate it, or at least try to extend where you can have up to $14 million of exemption to it. That goes all the way back to $5.5 million if we don't extend this tax cut that was in 2017. But the bottom line is we really got to get rid of the death tax, because it is a pilfer tax, it's a double tax on people, and it's just unjust. And if we want that next generation to have farmland and not China and not other massive organizations, then we got to look into this.
It's Agriculture Today.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
I want to, Mr. Chairman, address some process concerns. This is clearly something a lot of us care about. I mean, child labor is evil, and I do think we want to figure out how to root it out and how to punish those accountable for these acts of evil.
House Ag Committee, during markup of the Farm Bill, late night amendment offered on child labor in meatpacking plants. Dusty Johnson, representative from South Dakota.
This is a complex amendment with both the secondary and even more so the underlying amendment that I don't fully understand the impacts of. So, for instance, if USDA can't go and any longer contract with somebody who is responsible for 25% of all of the processing capacity in America, what will that do to the price of what USDA will have to pay to secure that protein for hungry Americans? Almost all of the other amendments we've spoken about tonight were pre-submitted. I had an opportunity to have my staff look into them and get answers along that size and scope, which gave me some comfort in voting. The hour is now getting closer to midnight. I don't understand the impact on hungry Americans through this. I don't understand the budgetary cost to USDA. I think studying this via a GAO report is more sensitive, appropriate, and respectful to the process than making us vote at a late hour at something when we don't have any idea what this will actually do to hungry Americans.
Chairman yields, now recognize Mr. McGovern for 3 minutes.
I mean, this is ridiculous. You don't even know what your SNAP amendment will do in terms of affecting people who are food insecure or hungry in this country. You've had a year and a half to put this farm bill together, and nobody's thought about child labor. It's really simple, right? You either think child labor is okay or you don't. And saying, oh, well, let's just do a study, that's the oldest trick in a book.
Will the gentleman
yield?
You guys do
that? No, I will not. Yeah. You guys do that all the time. Every time there's an issue you want to dodge, let's do a GAO study, which means we'll never get to it. So here's the deal. If you agree that child labor is a bad thing, not only in big companies, in small companies too. Child labor all of a sudden is not okay because it's a smaller operation. This is wrong. And so if you think child labor is okay, vote for the secondary amendment. If you think it is wrong, like we do, then vote for the Kassar amendment.
Finally, the chairman, G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania, weighing in.
Well, first of all, everybody take a deep breath. We have done so well today, and the meltdown on this last one is, in my mind, in my opinion, for what it's worth as chairman, is unacceptable. Let's work our way through this. We do have a secondary amendment. Mr. Kassar, I think anyone that's abusing child labor is evil, and it's, especially if they're doing it in any type of systemic way. And I just want to say up front, although the vote will be on the secondary amendment, and quite frankly, GAO, making sure the information. This is a very complex and very deep subject to get at the very end and sort of a last-minute thing with a lot of complexity. I mean, there's a couple of us that serve in Education and Labor or Education and Workforce Committee, and quite frankly, I can see jurisdictional issues with that committee, let alone, that committee in particular. And so what I will share with you, Mr. Kassar, is I would be happy going forward to work with you on this issue when we're able to do that, not at 20 till 12, with with a short window here. Now, we're going to continue to hear from everybody, so I'm not cutting anybody off, but I just would like everybody to take a deep breath so we finish here in with decorum and quite frankly, the grace that I think we've done here in these past.
It's Agriculture Today.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Plain and simple, this bill is a political prop that is not for farmers or families. The only message this legislation sends is that my colleagues on the other side of the aisle are not serious about passing a farm bill.
House Ag Committee member Chantel Brown from Ohio on the farm bill markup. She was one of 21 Democrats voting against the measure.
The farm bill touches every corner of this country, and its policies shape how we produce food, protect our natural resources, and address hunger. We have an opportunity to put forth meaningful legislation that impacts the lives of millions of people and generations to come. But after months of work, my Republican colleagues turned their backs and moved forward with a bill that picks winners and losers, cuts funding for conservation incentive programs, and takes away food from individuals who have fallen on hard times.